Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with Carly Lloyd. Carly Lloyd's bid to join the NFL is the new Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, man.
It's the charity event sweeping social media. Y'all remember the Ice Bucket Challenge? 4 years ago, people dumped buckets of cold water over their heads to raise awareness of ALS disease. Well, yesterday, the greatest kicker in NFL history, Morten Andersen, accepted the Ice Carly Challenge. Mort released this video on Twitter.
Hey, Carly, Morten Andersen here in Atlanta. If you want to know what it's like to kick in the NFL for 25 years, contact me and I'd love to work with you. Go get it.
Not to be outdone. Current Buffalo Bills kicker and 12-year NFL veteran Stephen Hauschka told ESPN he would accept the Ice Carly Challenge, saying, quote, I saw the way she kicked that ball. She's obviously got a lot of talent. Mm. It feels close to my heart because when I was 18, 19 years old, I was a soccer player and I had a dream of kicking footballs. Just for my Division III soccer team, I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity. I had a coach that showed me how to do it. If it's something she really wants to do, not only will I help her out if she wants it, but I hope she goes for it. I do think it's possible to kick well in this league as a female. It's a very mental position. It's physical. It's technical. And I think it could be done eventually. All right, look, people. I've been upset. People have been upset with me all week because I've been a wet blanket on the Ice Carly Challenge. I've called it a publicity stunt for a past her prime soccer star. And I'm right about that. She was the biggest star at Philadelphia's Lincoln Financial Stadium last night when a women's national team friendly drew 49,000 fans. I've also pointed out that no human has launched a successful NFL career at age 37. I've insinuated there are thousands of teenage boy soccer players who could take a running start and nail a 55-yard field goal, especially if you could edit out the misses. I've mentioned that we've seen this tried and failed before from Tony Meola after the 1994 Men's World Cup. I've been really negative about this whole thing, and it's been a mistake. I love football. I take every opportunity to defend football in the NFL. The mainstream media have attacked the NFL as a bastion of toxic masculinity. Maybe there would be less criticism if we added some toxic femininity and arrogance. With that in mind, I'm accepting the Ice Carly Challenge and offering my services. I was a long snapper on my high school football team. We went undefeated, won the state championship, and USA Today ranked us the 9th best team in prep football all over the country.
Jeff George.
I'm volunteering to be Carly's long snapper. We're a package deal if any team wants to bring us into training camp in 2020. I'm sure I can dig up a highlight reel of my long snaps from 1984. I snapped for field goals, extra points, and punts. Yes, at 52. I'm past my prime, and yes, I'm a tad out of shape. But that's why I agree with Carly, we should target next season. This will give me time to shed the extra 5 to 7 pounds I carry and get up to date on any new long snapping techniques that might have been developed over the past 35 years. Like Carly said, I would be foolish not to entertain any NFL offers that were presented to me. I know that I can definitely do this because anything I set my mind to do, I can do. And I actually have long snapped at the highest level of high school football.
Killer.
So I'm challenging those of you who love football, love the NFL, to accept the Ice Carly Challenge. I'm specifically challenging the ex-NFL quarterbacks who now make a living broadcasting games. Carly and I need a holder. Who wouldn't tune in to see Lloyd, Whitlock, and Bradshaw knock down extra points and field goals for the Steelers?
I'd watch.
It's ratings gold. Isn't that what this is all about? Raising attention and awareness to the plight of people past their primes? Let's embrace it. It's good for the NFL, and it's even better for Carly Lloyd and women's soccer. All right, joining the desk now, our Hall of Fame running back, Eric Dixon, former Pro Bowl linebacker, LeVar Arrington. Gentlemen, I'm dead serious about this. No, this is good for the league. You disagree? This is good for the NFL. You disagree?
You gonna long snap?
Yeah.
Man,
come on, dog.
Touch your toes.
Get over.
Yeah, no. Yeah, oh, man. Is this good for the NFL?
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's not, because it just changes the spirit, and it really changes the road and opportunity to become an NFL player. Just think about all the guys who have made it, but more importantly, those who didn't. And what it was always about. And I want to be respectful to Carly Lloyd by saying she didn't ask for this. Ain't her fault. She just went to a camp as a celebrity and got edited up.
I disagree with that. But go
okay,
ahead.
Well, look,
I think she did.
Maybe fan these flames, but she didn't start this fire. Okay, it sounds like her camp did. But that said, all the guys who didn't make it, think about it, man. It used to be that when you talk about getting to the NFL, it was about the player's ability and then accepting the calls or whatever came with that same player. If this was to come to fruition, a lot of the fuel is coming because of what she stands for and the cause before the actual player. That's backwards to what the NFL is supposed to be and usually is. So if we're going to make this exception, okay, where do the exceptions stop? When we all of a sudden don't look at you for pure ability and then acceptance, but we look at you for acceptance and then we're going to try and measure what your ability is. If you see the difference and shift in ideology with the acceptance of a player who has not yet demonstrated that they can do what the NFL demands of them, I mean, just even the kick. That's a kickoff run-up with a field goal that was edited. If I can see that example for all the guys who didn't make it, but did it the NFL way, if she can get into that alignment, I'm in support of it.
I'm with Ice Carly. I'm on the Ice Carly train.
Well. Perfect.
Here's what I'm going to say, okay? Regardless of publicity or not, I look at it from this perspective. It's the one position on the field where you could say, you know, Morton Anderson and those guys saying, I support you, come, I'll work with you, the mental, all those different aspects of the position.
Put some of this spotlight on me.
Put some of it on me.
I can build
my business. Right? But here's the reality of that. It's the one position where you could say, you know what, if we're going to go golfing, I'm not going to take offense to us going golfing together. If we're going to go have a couple cocktails after work at happy hour, I'm not going to be offended by that because it doesn't call into question in a lot of different ways. It doesn't call your manhood into question, all right? If this were a young lady trying to play lineman or linebacker or running back, If she said, I could go out there and I think I could run the ball like ED could, it's going to offend him. If she said, I could go out there and play linebacker or defensive end like Marcellus Wiley, that's going to be offensive because that is not an obtainable goal. Mm. And I think when you look at the position, it is the only singular, not even long snapper, is the one and only singular position where it would be acceptable by anybody's sight and anybody's vision to say, this is okay. Let's see what happens. Maybe it can happen. It's possible.
What about long snapper and the protected rules? You can't even touch the long snapper with his head down. But they have to make a tackle.
But once they snap the ball, they're fair game.
What about holder?
A holder could work.
We got three positions now.
You know what?
A holder could work.
Holder, easy.
A holder could work.
Holder's easy. I'm disrespecting them. That's easy.
Long snapper, no.
You said a few things in your monologue about mental and physical. The NFL is mental and physical. I mean, to me, it's like a gimmick. I mean, it looks good. It's fun to look at. But when it comes down, you know how it is in the locker room. You know how it is. If she missed a field goal, let's say she did get on an NFL team, and she missed a field goal.
She don't have to deal with the locker room.
Wait. She got to deal with the players.
They're
going to say, what the hell?
They're not going to say first of all.
You know what they're going to say.
You know what they're going to say.
They're going to be like, why we got her out here anyway? She shouldn't be doing this. It's crazy. Why we got to use this? You know how players get, because we put our heart and soul into playing a football game. We get all hyped up, and you count on your kicker. The kickers don't make all the
points.
But
we treat our kickers that way.
Yeah, but they're guys.
Already.
They're men.
I say they're people. I say they're people.
I'm with you, LeVar.
You know what I mean? Come on, we treat them the same. When you miss a kick,
I don't care how you want to cut it. Football. is a man's game. It is. It is a man's game. To actually play the game is a man's game. Mm. You got, all right, the running back, the quarterback, the lineman, the linebacker, the defensive lineman. The kicker, okay, if she'd have kicked in, I'm gonna give a pass go. Let's say she'd kicked in the preseason and made, say she kicked 10 times. Then she made 8 of them. I say, okay. Give her a shot.
Yeah.
Give her a shot now. Give her a real shot.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
But doing this.
I'm going to push back on that a tad bit. And now the reason why I'm going to push back with is because I know a lady by the name of Donna Wilkinson and Jen Welter and countless ladies have played some serious tackle football. I will say football with men is a man's game. It is 100% a man's game when men are playing football because of the physicality of it. It doesn't mean that you can't play a woman's game. Football can be a woman's game as well if you're playing against other women.
Right.
I have no problem with that. I'd like to see that.
And maybe I didn't clarify my point totally because I truly believe this is good for the NFL. I think this conversation is good for the NFL. Too much of the conversation around the NFL is about toxic masculinity. Oh, my God, those football players are terrible. Well, the same people that make that argument, I'm looking at them now over social media. Well, Carly Lloyd should join the NFL. She can play in the NFL. Mm. So there's some hypocrisy here. Either football is evil and we should be destroying it, or and it's toxically masculine. Mm. Oh, but when a woman can play, it's the greatest thing in the world. So I love that. And two, I'm just telling you, it's a TV show. So if during the offseason, if she's in OTAs and all that, and people are talking about her in the OTAs and what she's doing, it's all good for the NFL.
It is.
Because when the rubber meets the road and they put her out there in games, the truth will get exposed. Some of us will giggle and laugh, but the NFL will have benefited from the whole buildup, lead up to it. It would be a great event. Her kicking in the preseason would be a great event.
Let me ask you a question. What's the benefit?
I think I could take a lead because
women watch football anyway.
The benefit, obviously, is if she can actually kick.
And make a team. There you go.
That's a benefit because it's a mind-blowing. Sitting up here as four brothers, and this is not an objective measure, but there was a day where they questioned our acumen. They questioned us as black men, our abilities, and they weren't physical. And physical is more objective, so I understand. But there was a question of that. And Asa Warren Moon, who was exiled because of the questions of his ability. So this will be monumental in that respect. But let's not act like, guys, we have not been on the football field before, and some Hall of Famers haven't even made business decisions. And if you're a coach and you realize she can make kicks, but she can't make these tackles, you know what? I give you license to make some of these business decisions. That means if that kick gets blocked, evacuate. That means if you ever get in any compromised position other than making a kick, get out of harm's way. I think if she can show that she can make kicks, that's going to be the prescription.
Let me ask one thing.
Go ahead.
Because she doesn't just have to make kicks. The NFL last year, 94% of extra points were successful. 84% of field goals were successful. She's got to do it at a high level. 84-85%. If she can't do that, which I don't think she can, she'll get cut.
Take it off the field for 1 second. A older woman coming onto the NFL field as an active participant. Do we not see the play that is for the moms around the entire country, around the world?
I agree with you. That's why I'm saying it's a good thing.
But it's not appealing in terms of watching her kick. It's appealing in terms of, well, if this older lady can go out there and kick in the NFL, maybe the NFL, maybe football isn't as dangerous as people make it out to be. It could be an interesting strategic play.
Being a kicker. No, it's not as dangerous for a kicker.
But how many people are going to break it down that way?
Eric, you dig what I'm saying? If she made a team, even in the preseason, That would be must-see TV
I agree with everybody.
But it would be inspirational, I think, to some young girls out there. Mm-hmm. Some it won't be, but there are some that will be. Mm-hmm. And for as a man, mm-hmm. my mind would be blown.
Yeah.
And I would have to take a step back and be like, whew.
ED, you got to remember, most people that watch our game fly over it at 30,000 feet. You know, they're looking like, they're not entrenched like we are. So if they see her out there, they're just going to read the messaging that he said. But I want everyone who is so in love with this idea, and I am not lying, I'm getting really warm to this idea. Google these three words. Kickers getting hit. I made that mistake last night, and I saw devastation. Oh,
you see something get hit.
All these dudes take L's. Yeah, so, look, if she could take that L, if she can stomach that YouTube video and say, that could be me, go get it if you make the kicks.
I think, and LeVar hinted at something, because we may never have a female NFL player. But I do
don't do that.
We met my daughter.
Seven months trending bigger than me. Seven months ready, four arms.
I do think in our lifetime,
never,
we're going to have an NFL head coach.
That's possible.
Head coach. Because, and again, it's for the things LeVar is talking about in terms of playing to moms and participation.
There you go.
And again, this is what the NFL, this is why I think you got some people out there embracing the Ice Carly Challenge. It's like, let's make this more friendly for women.
Sure.
Let's get my trust me, my mother's like paying attention. Oh, a woman, you know, get people paying attention.
Let me tell you something. Let's let her kick. Let's say she kicks and the balls get muffed and she has to kick the ball and try to run with it. Them players
are going to try to run with it, though. That's instinct.
For your life.
Come on.
Have y'all not watched Peyton and Eli?
Man, look, that is instinct. You know that ball's on the ground. She's going to run away from the ball.
I'm out of here. I'm going to roll out.
Because they play football their whole life. You know, that's football.
But Deion evacuated at times, and he said, hey, man, I got to live for the next play.
Because he played football. He knows.
ED, I'm telling you, look, rest in peace to my mom, who was 6'1", 250 plus. She missed the boat. My mama could have made it, man. I'm telling you, my mama was ready.
What position?
I put her at fullback.
Mama gonna blow some holes open.
Gonna
blow some holes open.
No fear, and bigger than most. I'm just saying.
I'm gonna tell you why I believe you.
I know this for facts.
Because I met her daughter, and she's tiny as hell, but one of the toughest people on the planet.
All dog in there, baby.
It ain't never gonna happen. Back to reality. It ain't never gonna happen.
I don't know.
Take the Ice Carly Challenge. I'm on board.
Football season is coming up quick, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is celebrating with huge Week 1 contests. It all starts when Chicago and Green Bay kick off the season with a Thursday night single-game showdown contest and $2.5 million in total prizes up for grabs. New users who sign up today on DraftKings using code SPEAK will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at a $1 million payday. Draft your single-game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. But you don't have to wait until Week 1 to get in on the action. Right now, all users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Download the DraftKings app now to get in on the action. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. And as an extra special Week 1 bonus, new users can put in my code SPEAK to receive a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Don't forget the code SPEAK for your free shot at $1 million only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Eric Dixon and LeVar Arrington are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas, where the tension over Ezekiel Elliott's holdout is starting to boil over. Yesterday, Jerry Jones said he accepted that Zeke would likely miss some regular season games. But today, he was sounding a different tone, venting some major concerns about what rewarding Zeke's holdout would mean for the future.
If we do a contract, what's to assure us that this time next year or 3 months later, we won't be talking about another contract if we're not going to avoid, if we're not going to honor contracts. You get into a different world when you don't honor your agreements.
9 times out of 10, I defend Jerry Jones. Not here. Mm. There's no way in hell Zeke should honor that rookie scale deal that he took with the Cowboys and the NFL. That was outside of his control. Zeke didn't negotiate that contract. The CBA negotiated that contract.
Oh.
He got no reason to honor that. If he gets a new one here, I think he would honor it.
Look, thank you, Jerry Jones, for watching our show, because he's starting to sound exactly like me in terms of what I've been saying about this negotiation and how it's evolving. He is leaking his ego. Like, the ego is getting more and more invested in this conversation, less objective, more like, hey, I've paid in other ways, human capital, for you, Zeke, to understand what this is. But Jerry Jones is allowed to say the truth, but at the same time, he has to catch himself because he has the power to execute that same truth. And that's why I have a little issue with this, because Jerry has not always lived up to the contract in terms of when he released players, including Emmitt Smith, who Emmitt Smith walked that green mile with Jerry Jones. He took every step with him, but still, at the end of the day, got released. Yours truly got released by Jerry. Jerry, if you honoring contracts, you owe me about $14 million, I think, still from back in 2004. Point being, it has to be a two-way street if we're going to talk honor. Mm. When you say honor, now you're in a whole different realm. But if you just want to say, hey, play for me and I'll take care of you as long as I respect and love your services, say that. But when he went to the honor level, even Jerry has to stop short because he's contradicted that in the past.
Well, one thing about NFL contracts, you know, they're one-year agreements. It's nothing guaranteed. The only thing that's really guaranteed is that signing bonus. That's why players want that signing bonus. You look at baseball. Mike Trout down at the Angels, Anaheim Angels. $400 million. Nobody said anything about that, but that's all guaranteed.
Still paying Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. Mm. That's why football players, that's why we're so frustrated, because it's no honor. It's no such thing as honoring a contract.
Disagree with that, but we'll get into it later.
Okay, we'll get into that.
Show.
I'm sure you got an agreement. Yep. But it's no such thing as they don't honor the contracts, because they can cut you anytime they get ready, and you could have three, like you said, Jerry still owes you how much?
12, 13.
There you go.
I'll stop adding.
On the back end, like, hey, I had 3 years left, but you cut me because you feel like I couldn't play anymore or whatever, I got hurt.
Oh, he was right. He was
well,
right.
Here's
I ain't mad at him.
Here's what I'll say. When you sign the contract, you've signed the contract, whether the CBA has negotiated it or not, from the business aspect of it. I tend to look at it from this perspective. It's player-driven, I'll say, and I don't want to offend y'all because I respect y'all, but I think the opinion, bless you, is player-driven. And this opinion, whereas if you're looking at and you're listening, I went through a contract situation, and it was far worse than ED's probably at the end of the day. Oh, it was close. It was pretty bad.
The one he had in high school?
You know what? People called me yesterday, asked me that. Did you really hit out in high school? I'm like, come on, Jason, because you get me talked about.
I mean, I don't know that deal per se.
No one knows that.
I don't know the SMU deal either.
No one knows that one either.
But the one I saw that took place here. Anyways. When the owner of the team starts using business terminology, it's that the milk is going bad. And once the milk goes bad, I've experienced firsthand what that feels like when the milk goes bad.
I'm gonna play the other side of this. I think we're missing the total big picture here. And again, I don't agree with Jerry's comments, particularly honoring and blah blah blah, because of the CBA. But what Jerry's introducing into the record, there's a reason why Jay Glazer keeps saying, hey, the deal's going to be done soon, and Zeke's going to be the highest paid running back. Jay Glazer's very rarely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this to me says, he's putting it into the air. Zeke, I'm going to give you what you asked for, make you the highest paid running back. If somebody tops this contract in a year or two, don't you say a damn word. That's what he's introducing into the record.
I agree with that.
You're going to live up to this contract. I didn't want to do this. You forced me to do it. I'm going to make you the highest paid running back. But damn it, I've covered up for all your mistakes and legal dramas, and I don't want to hear your mouth again. You've done it with your kids. Eat all that damn McDonald's. You made me go get it.
I'll give you a better one. I'll give you a better one, Whit. I grew up
Shouts out to my man, Fred Tate. Fred Tate was stronger than all of us in grade school. Fred Tate said, if you give me your lunch money today, I won't take it next week.
A bully.
And I gave him my lunch money, but I ended up having to give him my lunch money the next week after that as well.
I
think that that's the situation that Jerry Jones is sitting here saying right now. If I give in to your demands whenever you want me to give in to your demands, there's no saying that you're going to come back next week and ask me for more lunch money again. I gave you your lunch money this week. You said you wouldn't come back for it no more, but you're still coming back for it. I can see that point.
And
I can understand that point.
I get that. And you said something, Jason. True. I mean, Jerry Jones has helped Zeke in a lot of ways, covered up stuff. And I think when he went against Roger Goodell, you know, and tried to get him fired and all that, you know, Jerry stood up for him.
Yeah.
And I think if Zeke hadn't had any problems off the field, no problems, I think they'd have paid him. I think it'd have been done.
I agree with Le'Veon Bell
in Pittsburgh, if he wouldn't have been, I think he'd still be in Pittsburgh right now. I mean, and a lot of that has to do with that. Look, can I trust you? You know, can I really trust you? Mm-hmm. And Zeke, most definitely, he's outplayed this contract, but, you know, I can't put myself out there. I understand that aspect of Jerry.
Don't you think it's peculiar that Jerry Jones wants to talk honor about a contract but still wants to instill fear in Zeke as he signs this same contract? Mm-hmm. To me, look, as the father, I'm suspicious of that, because if you're really talking about honor and you're honed in on that and these contract terms, then what is the fear? You can't sell another layer to me and say, sign this and don't you ever come back again, because I can look at you and say, well, if I sign this, don't you ever look at me and try to get rid of me
or your others.
And that's not the way you're not going to accept that, so why should I accept your fear?
Well, because one...
Because he's the boss.
Yeah, he's the boss.
But also, Marcel, I think it's the size of the check you cut and determines if you're going to instill fear. If you're cutting a huge check to a guy with Zeke's off-field track record, you better put some fear in him.
Why?
Because you can't trust him.
Well, that's different than... Look, I earned that large check. I earned them commas. Just like the guy who didn't earn those commas, you're not going to sell him fear. It's not about what the number is to Jerry Jones, because let's be real, they can sneeze and make all this money back. It's the fact that if you trust in me, you're going to sign a deal. But don't sign a deal and you don't trust in me, because I know you're not going to honor that.
I still feel like, you know, if you work for me, I want to feel like I can depend on you. If I say, hey, Marcellus, you say, I'm going to be at your office at 10 o'clock every morning, but all of a sudden you're showing up at noon, 1 o'clock, I'm like, hey, man, I got to trust you. I need you.
That's real.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington is back. We're joined now by longtime NFL quarterback Steve Berline. Let's move to Miami, where all is not well for Brian Flores in his first year as the Dolphins head coach. There's been discussion of trading away offensive lineman Laremy Tunstall for Jadeveon Clowney, but reportedly the players would revolt if their former first-rounder was shipped out of town. Add to that the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick just won the starting QB job over Josh Rosen, and it looks like the Dolphins might already be thinking about tanking. The question here is, would you blame Dolphins players for being irate if they traded Laremy Tunstall?
Would I blame him?
Yeah.
This is as soft belly as it comes. This is just horrible. Like, boy, Brian Flores just getting there, and this is what he's dealing with on top of what he had to deal with Kenny Stills. It's like, oh, wow. Y'all gonna have a mutiny? Y'all gonna stage a mutiny? What's that mean? Go. Like, I would go tuna on him. Bill Parcells, as I used to see Parcells walk through that locker room like the Don Dada, and say, I heard somebody say something, and I don't want anybody to point fingers. I want you to tell me who you are, and we'll read off what he said. And you sitting there like, I know who said it, but I can't point. And he's like, the longer we stay in here, the more hell y'all gonna catch. And finally you hear, but that wasn't right. And then there it goes. If I'm Brian Flores, y'all gonna mutiny.
Who said it?
And what you gonna do?
Uh-huh.
Right, straight up. Like, what you gonna actualize this mutiny right now? I wanna be on board. What y'all gonna do? It's crazy that these guys are really getting caught up in these elements of the game and taking focus away from just going out there and making plays. You're going to mutiny? Look, I've lost best friends on teams before. Okay, I still got your number, right? You still got mine, right? Mm-hmm. You know what? We in this game to go get it, and we still going to get it if we can't get it together. I'm still respecting that. But this is soft belly to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even with Rosen being new to the team, You still want to put the best team out there on the field that you possibly can put. And us as football players, in any sport, I would assume, when a new coaching staff comes in, you're going to put who you want to put in the positions you want to put them in. There's no loyalty to anybody that's a holdover.
So, hold on, I think you're missing the Dolphins' angle on this, though. They're saying Tunstall is a homegrown guy.
I get that.
It's not they're going to trade rather than pay.
Right.
And they think, like, well, damn, we're tanking this year. Yeah. We're not even going to play Josh Rosen. We're playing Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're going into a season like a tanking NBA team.
But
that's
I don't
not
think
commonplace.
But I don't think I'm missing the point. I think the point is that Flores wants to win. And if you can bring in Jadeveon Clowney and you can win, I'm not worrying about what's homegrown talent. If that homegrown talent in past was doing what it was supposed to do, I would not be here this year as a new coach. Like, I would not be introduced as a new coach of this franchise. So I look at it as a business decision. If I'm being brought in as a coach, and we all know that minority coaches have much shorter opportunities of making mistakes or having success, you're going to do it with the guys that you feel you're going to have the most success with right off the bat. I don't think it's tanking at all because he doesn't have the opportunity to do that.
Revolt is a big word.
Strong word.
It's a very strong word. You nailed it, Marcellus. I mean, what are you going to do as a player if someone is talking that way in the locker room or to the media and saying there's going to be revolt if Laremy Tunsil is not here, if he's traded? You get in that team meeting room and you say, what exactly are you going to do about it? If you don't like this and if you're fighting us up above the decision this organization is making,
bye.
You're gone. Yeah. You're out of here. And every one of your friends is out of here, too. They're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. They know that. This is not a Super Bowl year for the Dolphins. Did you know that?
I did know that.
It ain't going to happen this year with Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen or anybody else they put back there. So everybody's expendable. If you stand up and challenge this organization, you're going to be gone, I believe. They have to do that. They have to draw that line.
It's part of a culture change.
They have to change the culture.
But help me out here. Y'all played in the NFL. So you're telling you were on teams where they started out week one like knowing, we're not going to be that good.
What do you mean? Why do you get that indicator? I mean, look, the prospect of this team being a Super Bowl team is slim to none, if not none to slim.
I think they're players. Doesn't mean they that's can't their
but,
mindset.
But this whole Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Rosen, everyone expected that new football. Fitzpatrick, in a short sample size, good luck beating that out, man. He was already familiar with the system. He can win that job out, and then Josh Rosen once he fumbles or has his dry patch, we'll get an opportunity.
It's going to happen. It usually happens.
But just help me out here. Mm-hmm. Do you start an NFL season thinking,
no,
not going to be in the
playoffs? Every time I was 0-0, I thought we were going to win it.
You're realistic. You go in saying, there's no game you go into as an NFL player
where you think
you cannot be successful.
Right.
Where you don't expect to be successful.
And I don't think, that's why I'm saying, I don't think that your reasoning on it is, it's not based upon them tanking the season. I really think it's like what Steve said, it is a building of a culture that this new coach is bringing. And that's probably the reason why he was able to get the job to begin with.
But I understand a coach wants to come in and build a culture. Players want to come in and win, period. That's their focus. And they're going, you got 53 guys that are going to be on that roster, all of them with enormous egos. They were all their best players on their high school team, probably the best players on their college team. They think they're the best players in the NFL. And they're going into a season like, damn, the organization's not serious about winning, but we
are. Why are they not serious? Tunsil's never made a Pro Bowl. He's nice.
And by the way, you're getting a pretty good player.
You're getting a three-time Pro Bowler for a guy who hasn't made a Pro Bowl, but he's nice.
And they're going to have to pay him, too.
Right, and you're in Miami. Let's just be real about it. I do know this. When you get drafted or you are picked up by a team, you start to look at their historical record, and you start, things need to change here. Culture needs to change there. They had one winning season in the last 11 years. One. So don't act like, this is our year, and everyone
our
must stick together.
Our homegrown talent.
When, damn it, y'all ain't did anything in the last 11 years but once, and that was one opportunity. So this is just a lot of smoke. We've been there before, disgruntled players, and they start – it starts to fester, and everyone starts to get it in osmosis, and then – finally, the team leader either has to squash it or has to speak on it.
Right.
And if you're in this moment and I speak on it to Brian Flores, I hope he laughs in my face. He said, what you gonna do, Wiley? Where are y'all going? Go. And that's how you start to change the culture.
The best time of the year to do it, I tell you that.
I'm trying to figure out, though, who is Miami's team leader? Who maybe it's Laramie Tunstall. I know he's young, but maybe he is. But I'm trying to figure, who does speak to that team? Because someone needs to say, why are we creating all this chaos for this first-time head coach?
Right.
Who? But we seem to be more interested in the drama, and fight, you know, that's again where I think Flores.
Peculiar.
Yeah, that's where peculiar. I think Flores had problems with Kenny Stills early on. It's like, you want to talk about the owner? I want to talk about what you're going to do on this nine route.
Right.
How are we going to beat this blitz? Things like that. I just don't understand, why is it happening to Brian Flores, and someone in that Dolphins locker room needs to stand up with their coach?
No, I agree, and Flores needs to. I think he handled that Josh Rosen Fitzpatrick issue wrong a few weeks back when he came out and said, sometimes a guy's just not ready to play. When you come out publicly and say that about a player. So that, I think that created a controversy right away for Flores out of the box. And then now coming into this situation with this going on, this is his time now to step up and lay that iron fist down like what you're talking about. He's got to take control of the situation and say, there ain't no revolt here.
Like Belichick taught him to do.
Exactly. That's where he comes from.
All right, come on.
Before we go, football season is finally here. And as you head to and from the stadium to cheer on your favorite team, NHTSA would like you to remember that there are risks to driving drunk. So this season, let's all make sure to drive safely and responsibly. Drive sober or get pulled over. Whitlock and Wiley, Steve Berline is back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day.
Can't wait.
Steve.
I wonder what it is.
Huge Colts fan. Huge Colts fan.
So let's mood Andrew Luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a lot of praise after the news of his retirement broke over the weekend. But one guy actually tore him apart, none other than you, Mr. Steve Berline, who tweeted out, I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan, always have been. But this I cannot defend or justify. No scenario where retirement is defensible. To do this to his teammates, organization, fans, and the NFL 2 weeks before the season is just not right. I love the guy, but this will haunt him. You know what, Steve? Luck was my guy, but I did say earlier in the week that I did believe he quit on the team. So I want to hear you explain your comments here for us.
Well, we were just talking during the break. I think from my perspective, it's pretty easy. And I know it's an emotional thing. And I was emotional when I wrote that tweet. I am a huge Andrew Luck fan. I've always been. I'll even admit I had a man crush on him, you know, for a long time because I was like, boy, I wish I could do the things that he could do as a football player, as a prototypical quarterback. But the bottom line, if you ask me, this was the only way that he could have screwed up this decision. I'm not questioning whether he retired or not, whether he should retire or not. But if he would have done it 3 months ago after the season like Gronk did, and like Barry Sanders did when he retired, and like all the other guys before, and the big-name players, if he did it at that point, no problem. It's his right and his prerogative to do that. Or do it after the season this year, where it's not going to be such a disruption to his team. That's what upset me about this thing. Number one, until we hear something otherwise, I believe it's an injury that should heal, his high ankle sprain or whatever it might be. Why in the world, what argument is there that he, going into the NFL season 2 weeks before, why he would retire and throw his organization in chaos instead of going on the injured reserve list? Giving himself a couple of months to maybe see if his, if he can get his head right. Maybe his ankle starts feeling better. Maybe he keeps hope alive in that locker room that, hey, if we can get to the halfway point, Andrew Luck might come back and ride that white horse, take us all the way to the Super Bowl. Why would you not give that opportunity to happen? That's what gets me. And I'm not judging him, and I'm not saying that Andrew Luck is a bad person and he shouldn't retire. I'm saying that the timing of that decision, it would have been better for the organization if he would have said, Coach, I'm not into this. My foot's not ready. Put me in IR and we're going to figure it out.
I wanted to quit the game of football at age 11. It's in my book, actually. My father looked at me.
I quit after my freshman year.
Boom. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. At that age, I needed proper protection and guidance. My dad said, if you really want to quit, quit after the season since you already started. And I have no problems with it. Thank God my father was there in that moment. Andrew Luck is 29 years old. Doesn't need the same protection and guidance. So I must disagree with you, my man. And talk about two things. One, you're... It's always your right, and it's always your prerogative to make this type of decision as an adult.
I agree with that.
And your emotions don't need to be validated, And they don't need to be contextualized by outsiders, because the frustration he was dealing with and the courage he had to finally exude that to all to see and to criticize, to me, shows me the depth of pain he was dealing with. Now, I've been in this position before. I was a guy who went to my own mountaintop and realized every injury was knocking me down, and one day, a realization I'm never going to get back to that place. Now, others may forecast that. Others may predict that. Some may say, oh, you stopped yourself short. But that is what they think. In my report card, trust me, I grade harder than any other teacher or critic in the world. And I think Andrew Luck came to a place of peace that says, your grading system is on a curve that I'm not subscribing to anymore. So it's Andrew Luck that has to answer to Andrew Luck ultimately, even though we all get to witness it.
Can I respond?
Oh, yeah, you better.
Okay. There's a word that we're not putting out there.
Uh-oh.
Obligation. Obligation. Have Maybe you ever been a franchise quarterback?
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Have you ever been a franchise quarterback?
No.
I haven't either, believe it or not. I have never been a franchise quarterback.
Right.
I always dreamed of being one, but I never had that opportunity, or maybe wasn't good enough to get that opportunity. The bottom line is that organization committed and invested in him. And to do this to a team going into the season, I believe he has an obligation to try to handle this situation in the best way possible. Even if he knows he's going to retire, why create a controversy going into the season when you can easily defer that conversation until after the season by just saying, it's best for this organization. Maybe I might even change my mind, because I even admitted in my previous, in the press conference, I've only thought about this for about 10 days. That's what he said. It was a quote from him.
Right.
So give yourself another couple of months to think about it. Go to Europe for a month. Get away. Let that foot heal up a little bit. Maybe you'll come back in a month or a month and a half and say, I actually want to play. I want to try to take this team to the Super Bowl.
I hear what you're saying, Steve. I think obligation is a really tough word. I do think there's a responsibility when you take on, accept all that money and everything they give you as a franchise quarterback. But obligation, you've chosen that word intentionally, that gives you no wiggle room. And you're saying that
I think your obligation is to try to do the right thing. I didn't say he's got an obligation to stay and go on injured reserve. He's got an obligation to try to do what's in the best interest of the organization at that point.
I think in Andrew Luck's mind, he did that. In his mind. What he thinks is in the best interest of the organization may differ from you and Jim Irsay and Frank Reich and Jacoby Brissett. But he did what he felt was in his best interest, and I think part of he thinks in the team's
and
best
interest. And I always will bring this up. Byron Leftwich, who was a franchise quarterback, who went to the season ticket holder luncheon, who was the man, and then they said, August 31st, get up out of here. Well, David Garrard, your turn.
Of course that can happen anytime.
Guess what? It can go the other way as well. But this obligation is not two-way.
Guess what? The boss can always fire you.
Yeah.
Period.
Before we go further, I'd like to address the advice Hall of Fame running back LaDainian Tomlinson gave to Giants running back Saquon Barkley. LT told Saquon to think like a basketball player. Mm. Tomlinson said, told Yahoo Sports, don't be caught up in staying with just one team or saying, oh, I want to be with this team so bad that I'm willing to take less. It's a business at the end of the day. Basketball players, I respect them because LeBron James will say, I'm out. This team ain't doing what I need them to do. I'm going over here. Tomlinson then went on to criticize the family mantra preached in football. He suggested teams brainwash players into taking salary discounts for the good of the team or family. He said, you hear it all the time, hometown discount. Is Dak taking a hometown discount, Zeke? You hear it all the time because they want you to, but if you get hurt, if you can't play anymore, guess what? Sorry, we're pulling that contract. We're not gonna pay you that $20 million that you're owed. Mm. All right, you know who has been brainwashed? Athletes, particularly those who have joined the media, and most particularly football players. Hmm. Social media has convinced them they're inferior to basketball players. Hmm. I couldn't imagine playing the number one sport in America by a mile and spending all my time thinking the guys playing in a sport three times less popular are better than me. But this is the constant refrain of black football players. It infuriates me. I could just imagine LT in the 1980s advising Michael Jackson to think more like Phil Collins. Respect to Phil Collins, that's not a wide enough disparity. LT might as well have told Saquon, when it comes to diet and exercise, you need to think more like Jason Whitlock. Look, man, it's a different culture in football. It's more like the military. Your survival is dependent on the man next to you far more than in basketball. The dependency on the man next to you creates a family culture in football. LeBron James is the most gifted basketball player of all time. He can go get it all by himself. He could afford to jump from team to team because for a 15-year stretch, he could carry me and LaDainian to the NBA playoffs. Losing in football is a miserable existence, even with a large paycheck. Over the course of his lifetime, Dak is going to make more money as a winning quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys than as a QB mercenary for several franchises. And can we stop with the lie that in today's NFL, teams are routinely cutting guys who have $20 million left on their contracts? You think Michael Thomas isn't guaranteed to be on the Saints roster for the next 3 years after signing a $100 million deal with $60 million in guarantees? The NFL isn't discussed honestly. The huge signing bonuses and guaranteed bonuses give the top 10 or 15 guys on virtually every roster year-to-year security. When or if the Cowboys sign Dak, Dallas is likely to be stuck with him for the next 3 years. Same goes for Zeke. Saquon, if you're watching, part of the reason LT is so respected, part of the reason he's in the Hall of Fame, part of the reason he earns millions of dollars talking about football on the NFL Network is because of the 9 straight years he was a beast for the San Diego Chargers. All right, Eric Dickerson and LeVar Arrington have returned. Marcellus, I know all three of you are going to disagree with me. Get us rolling. You got a problem with
do your
Thomas
job.
And Vice.
Get it rolling.
I'm just over here trying to recover from them shots you're taking at these former football players.
I'm telling you.
Dang.
Would y'all show the NFL some love, man?
We do.
Man, you got an NFL shirt under this. Seriously.
I wish I did.
Yeah, but you have to also balance the equation. Let me say this to my man, my former teammate, who I saw first practice in the NFL all the way through. And LaDainian Thomason, you're preaching to the choir, brother. And I want to edit what he said, because I think too many athletes always say, it's a business at the end of the day. I walked into the NFL, and I knew it was a business at the beginning of the day, okay? I woke up with money on my mind. And you know why? The only love language that is really understood in the NFL is currency, is money. Don't come up to me talking about how good I am, how great I am. Oh, my God, you keep this up. I don't want to hear anything but cha-ching, because that's what I know you really are putting your money
I want a DNA test. Is he your daddy? Y'all think just alike. Y'all think just alike.
That's another one of my football fathers.
We know, right? What's up.
So you know what's funny? And this is how they mesmerize you. In the league, this is how they get you. You know what? You must sacrifice for a ring. At all costs. This is all about that ultimate television show called the Super Bowl. And if you don't get a ring, what was your career really worth? I was like, I'll tell you what my contract was. That's what my career was really worth. And this is how they do it, and only in sports. Because if you look at it, if you don't win a ring, you're deemed some kind of loser. Oh, you fell short of. You know how many artists are out there that haven't won an Oscar? Will Smith hasn't won an Oscar. Is he a loser? No one even goes there. You know,
Huh? He didn't win one for Oliver.
Man, come on, brother.
I'm back. Go ahead.
Okay.
Keep going.
Let's talk about the fact that Guns N' Roses ain't won a damn Grammy. Are they losers? Like, it's amazing. Only in sports, I must get my ring or fall short. Get your money and get up out of there. I love LT for saying this.
Hey, brother, I agree with you 100%. You know the funny
brother,
thing is?
Brother, you mean son. Go ahead.
See, you got that NFL shirt on that jacket. I know you do. Look, I'm telling you, the first thing people holler about, the greedy football player. Ooh. Y'all want all the money. I was looking, why don't say the greedy owners? They don't say the greedy baseball player, but the greedy football players. I mean, that's what Phil Collins, I mean, if people will pay Phil Collins. How much Phil Collins made? He made $50 million. No big deal. Mm-hmm. I paid $600 to go to a concert. No big deal. But when it comes to us, it's a big deal. Football is a physical sport, and football is about business. Because when they can't use you no more, get out of here. Same. You can't make the club in the tub.
I think it's a complex conversation. And I look
thank
at
you,
it.
LeVar.
I look
LeVar.
At it.
Oh, political. Listen, come on, LeVar. Hey, now, come on. You're a football player first.
Union ain't strong enough.
You're a football player.
First of all, I like to look at myself as an intellectual before I am a football player. And I never subscribed to just being a football player. And yes, maybe that was part of the reason
I think you've gone a bit too far, but go ahead.
I don't know. I got a pretty good resume. But you know, the interesting thing about how it applies to how basketball players think and how football players think, I think it's interesting because basketball players want to be football players. Football players want to be basketball players. Entertainers want to be one of the two.
Your intellectual.
I never heard no basketball.
I ain't met a basketball player yet. I'll switch places with you.
I want to get hit, man. I want to get hit like you.
Well, no, if they were tough enough, they would. But go ahead.
I'm speaking on like more of the, you know, more of a mental, emotional aspect of it. You want what you're not a lot of times.
Yeah,
I mean, you see, I mean, come on, you saw basketball players playing the flag football games, Durant and LeBron's, because they love what football represents. So anyways, the reality of what I'm thinking here is, you know, I played with Deion Sanders, and Deion Sanders is one of the original guys that coined that whole, you know, go where the money is and make sure that you're not married to one team. And doing so. But I also played with a guy by the name of Daryl Green, who subscribed to a different way of looking at things. And I don't know, maybe, and I don't want to look at what somebody's household is and how that plays a part into it. But for me, I grew up in the house with a preacher. I know that Daryl Green is very deeply rooted in the church community as well. And I think a lot of times when you're looking at the stability and the communal aspect of it, I don't think it's actually being brainwashed to be the zombie football player. I think it's more or less brainwashing in terms of what you mean to that community. I always looked up to Daryl Green and wanted to be like Daryl Green as a Washington Redskin because of what it meant in the community. And that meant way more to me, sorry, than the paycheck. It really did. Hey, listen.
There are a lot of communities.
Listen. Hold on now. Mm-hmm. Where I come from, I grew up in a place where my mother had to go do, parent-teacher conferences in their homes, in their project complex. I grew up in a place where we saw the type of violence that you probably saw where you grew up from. And the reality to me was, what motivated me to make it to where I made it to play at the high level that I made it to was all the family members that I lost to senseless violence, to all of the family and friends that I was losing and seeing struggle and suffer. So my motivation was not the money to begin with. My motivation was, how successful can I be to impact the community that I came from?
So why'd you play for multiple teams? Why'd you have holdouts?
The reason why I left Washington,
it wasn't for the community.
I never held out. I came in late. They call that a holdout, but being an intellectual, I know that not having a contract, you can't be a holdout if you don't have a contract in the first place. But that's a whole nother deal.
Right.
But when I left Washington, it was because I had to leave. It wasn't because I wanted to leave. I had to leave because of what took place, the rapid deterioration of the relationship. I had to leave because they were trying to destroy my who I was as a person.
Gotcha.
And when it became more of a project to destroy LeVar Arrington's brand in the community, I had to leave. So I don't look at it. I'm not driven by that, though. So if I left, I'd leave for a different reason.
LT knows damn well how much respect and how much money he can still make in San Diego and being associated with the Chargers.
LA.
Mm-hmm. But again,
we're here.
But again, they still have a lot of love for him in San Diego. He's associated with that brand. He's on TV partially because of his association with the Chargers.
Yeah.
But it's the NFL overall, and he was such a good player, he would probably have been great elsewhere as well.
Right.
And so I just think this whole thing about, oh, God, they got it so good over in basketball and everybody can be LeBron. Man, they got about 30 guys that can pretty much do whatever they want in the NBA.
It's 51. They got 51 guys making $20 plus million. Yeah, NFL has 20.
I think the thing, I think players look at more is that they have the guarantees. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to, those guarantee contracts. I mean,
okay.
Really, I mean,
is Michael Thomas's contract basically not guaranteed for 3 years?
Basically. That word, basically.
I heard your daddy.
Thank you. There you go. Basically, is Mike Trout's contract guaranteed? $400 million guaranteed. All of it.
Man, stop that.
Man, he could play a whole football team.
You know what, though?
He could play the team.
The way y'all treat the NFL, I wouldn't guarantee the contracts either.
See, here we go. I'm telling you, I'm telling you. He's a spy. He's a spy.
He's a spy. We can't push back with some intelligence and not you return fire with spite. Let's talk about this. The owners, the GMs always say, players, buy in.
Buy into our thesis.
Well, what the hell won't y'all buy in? Y'all not buying
in. They do buy in.
No, they don't.
Basically, they do. But not to the fullness.
And look.
That's the issue.
But again, just think of the difference of being when you go tell somebody, I'm a Hall of Fame NFL player.
Mm, that's beautiful. Yeah,
yeah. When you go tell somebody I'm a Hall of Fame NBA player.
I didn't even say that.
You might not even know who the hell it is.
People love football.
Football's
the number one
sport. But I'm just saying, y'all acting like, oh, it's so much, everything's so much better in the NBA. There's some great things about football that people should thump their chest about rather than sitting around worrying about if LeBron James is going to go join NBA Hall of Fame.
I've never looked at it that way. I've never looked at basketball or baseball and been jealous of it. I'm aware of them getting those contracts. I am very aware of that.
You know, the thing about football is that one thing about football players are, we're loyal. It's that loyalty thing we have. Yes, we're loyal. We're loyal. I mean, we are until we feel like we're not being.
Well, that's
not treating
true.
Us
when
the
you're
same.
Not being appreciated.
When you not feel like you're not being appreciated, all of a sudden, all the barriers come down, and then it gets ugly and nasty.
Because you got to deal with that same intensity of buy-in.
Because you know, it's like a player. If you think about this, Jason, when we go play a football game, you're, hey, man, what's up, dog? Good seeing you for the game. Hey, good seeing you. Oh, now you got to play. Now I got to hit you. And I got to be, hell yeah, man. Then all of a sudden, hey, dog, good game, man. You know, it's hard to pull that back. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you play for that team so hard, put so much passion into it. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, we're going a different direction. I can go in that direction.
Yeah. You make a hell of a point. The thin line between love and hate.
That's it.
There's more love. You got to really love this game to play it at a high level.
I loved it.
And then when you feel like you get mistreated, you still should, Eric, because it's taken very good care of.
My one thing is, beyond my envy for other sports, what guaranteed contracts, how they're treated, whatever, is how we're treated versus how the owners are treated. You talked about the greed. But let me say this, Whitlock. There are.
I can't wait for you to own a business and then expect.
Own a business first.
You expect your employees to be treated the same as you?
No, I didn't say treatment. I'm talking about how the public sentiment is different. And look at this disparity. 23 of the current owners in the league have not won a Super Bowl, but they still cash them checks. And no one calls them greedy or less than. But then a player who goes cashing that same non-guaranteed check is looked at as like, have you earned all of that? Where's the fullness of that experience? That contradiction is my issue.
There you go, son.
Coming up.
There you go.
There you go, son.
I got to get out of here.
Can we go stay? Maybe we can go stay tonight at the Dickerson's. Talk some NBA, sponsored by the Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet? All right, let's move to a couple of Lakers legends, Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, who got into it this week after Kobe said that if the big man had hit the gym more, he would have won 12 effing rings. Mm. Shaq fired back that Kobe would have won 12 rings if he ever passed the ball. It all ended with Kobe tweeting he had nothing but love for Shaq and that there was no beef between them, and Shaq appearing to agree. Question here is, you think Kobe and Shaq actually are friends?
I think they are. This is a very light level of friendship. Mm. The one that when you used to beef with a frown, now we beef with a smile. But we still, no house calls. You're not coming through the crib just on the random. Mm. Because their foundation was met. And when they met each other, it was like beef already in the waters in terms of who's going to be the alpha, who's going to be the lead dog, even though Shaq won that out on the court. It still was the eagerness and the hunger of Kobe that was always biting at Shaq and ultimately won that decision of who stays with the franchise. So I just think because of the foundation,
it's very difficult for them to be on the high level of friendship, but I certainly see a mutual respect. Mm.
You know? Darnell, I'm going to bring you into this because I know you're a Kobe fan.
Yeah. Kobe,
but
lover.
Me listening to Marcellus, where in Indianapolis, I wouldn't call that friends. I would call that an associate.
Yeah.
Right.
I hear that.
That's a good point. And I kind of agree with you on that, Whitlock. Like, I don't think there's a beef at this point. Obviously, we know their history, you know, earlier in the years where there were some beef. But I think Shaq has gotten over that, and they're both have grown to where they're over that point. But I think Shaq just kind of misunderstood Kobe's point. Kobe didn't say Shaq wasn't a hard worker. He was saying there was another level that if he would have worked to a higher level, that he could have been the GOAT. So I think Shaq was just probably took it the wrong way early on. And then once he kind of thought it back, he was like, yeah, you know, I ain't tripping. So,
you know what? I can buy into that's what Kobe's saying, because I was somebody that thought as a footballer, oh, I work hard. And then I got to college and I was like, oh my God, they just redefined hard work for me. Mm. And I struggled with that redefinition.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Big time.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times when you got to the NFL, I'm probably, there were some guys like, holy cow, this is working.
This is how I we thought. Get it. Right.
And so I just think Kobe's definition of working hard and Shaq's is different. And I think for good reason, Shaq is 7 foot. 300 some odd pounds, damn near from birth.
Yeah.
If he worked as hard as Kobe thinks he should have, maybe he runs out of gas at age 31.
Right.
And is out of the league. And so I just think they have a misunderstanding of hard work. I don't think they're really friends. I think they're both legends, and it's better for them to get along to some degree than to be at war with each other.
Well, I think they are friends, because if they're in the same situation, association, they're gonna walk over to each other and give each other love and talk through it. Associate, you're just gonna acknowledge they're there and it ain't gonna
head
go too much deeper.
Yeah, I know you.
All right, text your boy later, never. You know, you don't ride a Ferrari the same as a F-150. So Kobe is always telling Shaq, I needed more. And Shaq's sitting there, Kobe, I needed less. That's why we had a signal that we said, Kobe doing too much out here against Detroit. Don't give him the ball anymore. So it's a weird reconfiguration and calculation you always have to have in sports. And everyone always plays this Frankenstein game. Man, if you took Kobe's mind and heart, put it in LeBron, oh my God.
Oh, I actually believe that.
I don't. I know you do. And it's a crazy thing, because when you're, you know, when you have these gifts, You have to understand that you also, no one's perfect, so there's going to be a counterbalance to whatever gift you have. Like you said, if Shaq went out there, rode that F-150 like a Ferrari, it's going to blow the tires. Something's going to give, so I think that they both need to respect where they are.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Carly Lloyd. I mean, Marcellus gave you a buffet to work with today.
Boy, he did.
Buffet to work
hey,
with.
Hey, man. Look, with no further delays or ado, the big dummy go to whoever sat up here and said that their mama was 6'1", 255, and could have played a fullback. Who was she going to play for? The Crenshaw grandma's Marcellus?
First of all, she was 250 plus. It's probably 60-something.
She should have been a blue M&M.
All right, let's talk Carly Lloyd, who just got offers from Hall of Famer Morton Anderson and Bills kicker Steven Hoschka to help her pursue her dream of kicking in the NFL. All right, Marcellus, do you ever think we'll see a woman kick in the NFL?
Yes, we will. One, she made a 55-yarder with no practice and no full understanding of the position. The median kick in the NFL is 39 yards long. Median. Most people try 39-yarders. And a team that has a 50-plus-yarder, you only have 3 of those a year. That's on average. So, can she fit into those numbers? Absolutely, if she gets some training.
Uncle Jimmy, will we ever see a woman in the NFL?
Question ain't whether or not we will. The question is whether or not I want to or not. And the answer is no. I don't want to see a woman in the NFL no more than I want to see Ronda Rousey versus Floyd Mayweather in a cage match against Brock Lesnar. No more than I want to see Lisa Leslie trying to block out Zion Williamson for the last Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I ain't had one yet.
I heard that good.
I heard it.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Uncle Jimmy won't even play a woman in a Madden video game. I just have an unfair advantage. What? Hey, look, a woman's thumbs ain't no match for Uncle Jimmy and the hit stick. Hey, man, I will hit stick a woman's weave into another area code with a reckless abandon.
Oh, wow. You're going in. Let's hear it.
Wow.
Now, hold up. No. Let me say this now. You best believe that if the NFL let a woman in here, oh, best believe Uncle Jimmy gonna be there making the best of it.
Oh, so if it happens, you're gonna take advantage.
Hey, boy, let me tell you something. I'd love to have one of them blue M&Ms on the offensive line blocking for Patty Mahomes. Hey, boy, Uncle Jimmy, get some of that M&M, get some of that NFL money. Hey, Uncle Jimmy can retire. Hey, man, I heard this Carly Lloyd thing going on when I was down in Cabo.
Yeah.
Marcus,
what?
First thing I did was brought a whistle. I put the blue M&Ms on the Oklahoma drill. Only the strong ones. Only the strong ones made it back. The ones that was weak, I left them with Zeke. See, I personally live vicariously through my women.
Oh, man.
Y'all know how I like my women. I keep them fat, barefoot, and smothered in bacon grease and molasses.
What?
You know, now hold on, now wait a minute, nephew. I remember a time when the family thought you was gonna make it in the NFL. But that dream died in the McDonald's drive-thru back in 1982, the year they released the McRib. So on second thought, I think I'd like to recander my comment. I think I'd like to see Carly Lloyd make this move.
Yeah, all right.
Then that way I can get the blue M&Ms. I can get them in Kansas City. I even got a nickname picked out for them.
Don't do
it. If we call them Big Reds. Big Reds, Big Angels. Big Reds Angels. Hey, the Redskins got the hogs. Kansas City Chiefs can have the blue M&Ms. Or the red M&Ms. Or the red Angels.
Andy Reid's Angels.
Hey,
all right,
man, let me tell you, y'all laughing. Yeah, God damn it, if Uncle Jimmy tell you a duck can pull a truck, you better hook him up.
Let me get to my approval rating. Stop.
88.
Yes, sir.
Job performance 5. She's coming off the bench in the World Cup. All-time greatest, I'll give her a 20.
Don't do that, huh?
Character, 18. Authenticity, 5. 48 scout team.
She did score 3 goals in the World Cup. I think 6 straight games.
Coming off the bench.
It doesn't matter. It's 3 goals. So I got to give her a high job performance. Also,
bench players are getting the 20s job.
Hey, man, you balling.
You balling.
But
you
the
balling.
World disagrees with me. I think she's the goat.
Yeah.
She's going to be in the league.
Call.
She gonna
look at that Twitter poll. They got her in a dumpster fire lower than I got her.